And tonight, I want you to find your place in the little epistle that Paul wrote. It's probably the smallest epistle, and it's while he was in prison. And the name of the epistle is Philemon, and I just entitled it Philemon's Letter, because it's actually a letter written, and the Apostle Paul is the author, and he writes it on behalf of Onesimus, and he's a runaway slave. He's a thief. But something happened to him when he ran away, and while he was being a thief, he's probably in jail, and Paul witnessed to him, and he got saved. And brother, it's a story about a man getting saved and making the biggest change that anybody can make. You've gotten saved, you've made a change. Amen. So it's a message on Christian character, and in any church, any place, any time, we always need to hear how the people of God handled the situations they were found in. We learn from it. We grow from it. We are encouraged by the stories, and we say, wow, he was in worse shape than I was, and he made it. God delivered him and just set the writing of a letter from a man that he loved. And man, it's just let me share it with you. The Apostle Paul, probably somewhere around 64 A.D. Man, that's a long time ago, and we're still reading the letter tonight. It is one of the prison epistles, as I'd said earlier. Paul was in jail for preaching, and he wasn't in jail because he was a malefactor. He was in jail because he was preaching and taking a stand for the resurrected Christ. And the theme of the book is Onesimus, and that name, every name has a meaning. That name means profitable. A slave of Philemon. Philemon, the letter is titled Philemon. Onesimus is that slave, and Philemon owned him as a slave. A Christian of Colossae had robbed his master and fled to Rome. Man, I'm going to get out of here. I got me some money. I got me some freedom. I'm going to go on down there where the lights are bright. Let's go to Rome, man. I hear they're getting it on down there. Let's go on down there. See, he didn't say all that. Oh, I bet he did. Just like the prodigal son, when he wanted his inheritance, he basically stole it. And his daddy gave in and gave it to him, and he went to a far country, and he squandered it. Now, look, this man on Netflix, he probably got in trouble down there and got thrown in jail, got put in the cooler. Say, why? Parting with all that stolen money. Say, you're making that up. Well, I don't know. Makes good preaching, don't it? I don't know what happened to him. Watch. So he goes down to Rome. There he became a convert through the Apostle Paul, who sent him back to Philemon. That man, he thought he'd hit the lottery, man. He'd robbed his old boss, and he got out of there, no more master for me. Nobody telling me what to do, when to get up, when to eat, when not to eat, when to cook, when to plow the field, when to do the wash, when to do the laundry. And they told me to do the dishes the other day. I ain't doing none of that no more. You say he didn't say all that. He might have. And he goes down to Rome, having a big old time, and gets thrown to pokey. And who's he run across? Why? He's thinking he's going to run across the worst criminals known to man. I mean, down in the jail, you know, there's all those thieves and all those murderers and all those pedophiles and all those perverts and all that mess that they haul in down there and throw in jail. And they beat up on each other, you know. He said, man, I've had it now. They find out I'm a runaway slave. They'll kill me. But who's in jail? The Apostle Paul. Here's a guy over there humming Amazing Grace. Grace. He looks over there and said, what are you doing in jail? I don't know if he said that, but I'm just thinking he probably thought that. And he looked over the Apostle Paul and said, hey, how you doing? Welcome. Welcome to jail. The guy said, this guy's nuts. He said, yeah, they said that about me. Much learning hath made thee mad, Paul. But Paul's in jail waiting to go before Agrippa, one of them kings up there. You know, he wasn't going to waste no time with that king. He was going to witness that king, try to tell him about Jesus. Amen, amen. And so the Apostle Paul says, come on over here, son. Where are you from? He said, well, I'm from up the coast up there. He said, I got in a little trouble up there. He said, you got into trouble, man. What'd you do? Paul said, man, you get yourself thrown in jail. He, and that guy, that young man, that Onesimus, he said, well, wait a minute, old man. What'd you do to get in here? Well, I'm glad you asked. I was preaching on a street corner the other day, and they come and got me and throw me in jail. Preaching? You mean like preaching the Bible? Yeah, you know. I said, well, what was you preaching out of the Bible? Got everybody so worked up that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. That he saved your soul if you believe on him, keep you from going to hell. He said, and I ain't heard nothing like that except one day, one way back when my owner, you know, my boss, he said something to me about Jesus. But I didn't pay no attention to him. I thought he was full of hot air. And I stole my money. And I come on down here to Rome and I run across a guy trying to tell me the same thing my owner was telling me. Paul said, isn't that something, huh? No coincidence with the Lord, son. You better listen. And he began to witness to him and tell him about the Lord Jesus. He said, it didn't happen that way. Oh, I don't know. It might have. The Apostle Paul witnessed to him in jail there, told him he needed to get saved, and said, oh, by the way, your boss, your master, that man back there, I led him to the Lord 20 years ago. He's a saved man. He'll do you right if you got saved. He said, oh, man, say it ain't true. No. Yeah, it's true. But your biggest concern is not what your master's going to say. Your biggest concern is not the money you stole. Your biggest concern is not getting into trouble down here in Rome and getting thrown in jail. Your biggest trouble is dying and going to hell. And man, about that time, Onesimus said, man, what am I going to do about that? When Paul said, well, one time back over there in Acts, I told these people, look, they asked me the same question. What must I do to be saved? He said, I just told them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Man, just like that, can't be like that. I heard you got to keep the sacraments. Well, you don't bother with too much religion now. The Lord said, believe on me. And he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, then you don't have to keep no... I thought you had to be a member of the church down there. No, you don't have to be no member of no church or anything. Well, I thought they were baptizing over there when John was in town. Man, they're baptizing everybody. I never got baptized, so I got to get baptized. No, you don't have to get baptized. All you got to do is believe. Number one, no, you're a sinner. And brother, that's about as plain as the nose on your face. Here you are, a robber, a malefactor, went down to party, cared about nobody, got yourself in trouble, got thrown in jail. We know you're a criminal. Say, Paul didn't say it. I don't know. Say, what happened? He got saved. I think I'd like to try this out. Man, I've tried everything else out. Man, I've tried out stealing. I've tried out lying. I've tried out living for the devil. I've tried out drugs. I've tried out all the other things that the world says that I ought to be trying out, that I ought to be doing, and none of it's worked out for me. And here I am in jail. Man, what a mess he found himself in. So Philemon, man, I should read a little of the Bible, I guess, and quit telling you this story. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know what? I love being a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? I like these holy chains I'm chained with. I like these bars that keeps me safe at night. It keeps me wanting to serve the one I love. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved, and fellow laborer. Yeah, he knew him. Probably led him to the Lord a few years back. And to our beloved Apithia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So, one of them was a pastor. They might have been a father-son team, a lot of that going on. And they were saved, and they had a church in a house. Wasn't a big flamboyant splash in a pan. It was just a church house. But nonetheless, where two or three gathered together, the Lord said, I'll be there in the midst. Brother, it was the real deal. And he acknowledges it here. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God making mention of thee always in my prayer, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus, toward all saints. Man, he's going on about this thing. That the communications of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. But he had a lot to say. For we have great joy and consolation. That word is a big word for, we got all this comfort, this inner peace, this consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Man. Say, who's he talking to? He's talking to Philemon. Say, man, sounds like he's buttering him up. They're just telling the truth. And you know, when you tell the truth about somebody, there's a little forbearance in your heart, a little love in your heart, a little comfort in your heart. Say, well, he's sitting in jail. He ought to been all upset. He wasn't upset. He was doing the work of the Lord. That tells me something. I don't care if things aren't going the way you think they should. I don't care if you think you are in jail. I don't care if you think the devil has your hands bound or you're bound. You can still serve God. You can find a way to glorify God and serve God. For we, let me go on, verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. And I said, uh-oh, what's going on? I told you we're bold. I told you got thrown in jail all about the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and taking a stand, leaving the Sanhedrin, getting saved and all that. He says, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged. So he's getting up in years. And by the way, this might have been the last letter that he wrote before he was killed. He was a martyr. He was aged. And I guess he's planning to live forever. I don't know. I don't think he was. I think he had a suicidal wish. He got stoned out and they drug him out of Lystra. And he went right back in and said, what in the world's wrong? He just about killed you in there the last time. I don't know. Be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Sounds pretty good to me. Say, he wasn't thinking right. Well, I think he might have been thinking right. It might be us that ain't thinking right. Amen? Watch. Paul the aged is now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And now that's the second time he's told you he's a prisoner of the Lord Jesus. But he didn't recognize the fact that he was a prisoner in a Roman cell. He told you, I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm right where Jesus wants me, right at the right time, in the right place. And brother, that's a joy, a peace, a grace that could be down in your soul to know that you're exactly where God wants you, when God wants you there. And man, things are going to happen for the glory of God. You say, how do you know that? Well, he led Onesimus to the Lord. Amen. Quite a big thing going on there. Watch out. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. My son? Well, yeah. See, when you lead somebody to the Lord, they become your child in the Lord. Have you got any spiritual children? Have you recently led anybody to the Lord? The whole gist of this letter is Christian character and how we're to conduct ourselves, even in adversity, even in oppositions. And we're without excuse. We're still supposed to be some kind of a witness. And who knows? You might be able to win somebody that's in worse shape than you to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's our business. Be careful now. I beseech you for my son Onesimus. That's that crook. Well, that's that thief. Philemon said, well, that's that guy that was my servant. I bought and paid for him. But, well, I guess the Lord bought and paid for me. I might ought to listen to what he's saying here. Whom I have begotten in my bonds. In other words, it sounds like he led him to Christ while he was incarcerated. Which in time past was to thee, unprofitable. I guess so. This guy was supposed to be a servant, supposed to be doing the dishes, supposed to be sweeping the floor, supposed to be putting a new roof on the house, supposed to be feeding he was Jewish, so he probably didn't have any hogs. I almost said feeding the hogs, so he was feeding the goats and the lambs. Hey, man, I got to get my story right here. But he said, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. Say, but unprofitable, ain't a servant supposed to be profitable? Yeah, not when they're stealing from you. Amen. Say, well, it'd be pretty hard for somebody to steal from me. Man, I'd show them a road in a heartbeat. I don't know. God might let them steal from you to get your attention. You might tell them about Christ and restore them and make them a profitable servant. And you might have a friend for life here, huh? But now profitable to thee and to me, now that he's been saved, things have changed. Amen? So watch. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels. Man, that's how I feel deep down with inside. Can you receive this guy? Aren't we skeptical when that comes to somebody says, hey, I led this thief to the Lord. I'm going to send him back up there to you. Can you receive him? Boy, I can see you looking down your long nose right now. Well, I don't know if he's going to fit in around here anymore. You know he took the cookie jar money. You know, Mom had $10 hid in the butter dish up there. He took that. And you know he took the kids' piggy bank money. Say, yeah. And he rode off with the horse and buggy, huh? I don't think I can receive him up here. Listen, for the very sake that you're a saved man, I'm a saved man. If it hadn't been for me, you'd be dying and going to hell. Receive him. He got saved. Boy, that do change things. Watch the story. He says, whom I have sent again, and that is mine own bowels are yearning, whom, verse 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. The word says, I'm going to make a preacher out of him. Going to help me down here put out the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing. In other words, he did belong to you. These were the days when slavery was allowed. Watch it. That thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Say, well, I don't believe in slavery. What's that song somebody wrote? I'm working 9 to 5 minutes. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people are slave to that job. Somebody say amen. They don't know they're a slave, but they're a slave to that job. You can't walk away. You can't get away. And if you miss a day without any days that you're allowed to miss, they'll be calling you in and pink slipping you. Hiring somebody in your place for about half the money. Yeah, you're a bond servant, huh? Oh, Brother Phil, you really think so? I know so. Watch. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him. I really like this. Forever. What? Not now as a servant, but above a servant. What? That's all he ever was. That's all he'll ever be. A servant? No, not a servant. A brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Now, Brother Jeremiah was preaching this morning about things done in the flesh and things done in the spirit. You know, when you get somebody saved, even the deeds of the flesh, when they're in subjection to the higher powers or the spiritual senses and righteousness of the Holy Spirit of God, they can be a benefit for you. And that guy probably went back. I can see things change, man. Now, let me read a little more. Then I'll tell you the rest of the story as I tell it. Then I'll give you 3 or 4 points. We'll go home. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Verse 17 is a powerful verse. Now look, you know me. I led you to the Lord. I know you're saved. You know I'm saved. And you said one time you'd do anything for me because you love me, because we're brothers. See, well, there's a little bit of a character problem here. You know, you're full-time in the ministry and you got yourself thrown in jail for preaching and I'm still up here running a successful business. Well, that's just your character and your call and God's plan for your life at that time. Doesn't mean you're doing more for God than I am. You see that kind of thing going on. Watch it. If thou count me therefore partner, receive him as myself. Wow. Wow. Somebody said, I want to do something for you. You do. This happened back in the days of David. Well, yeah, because you know, you did this, you done that. Let me come on to my house and let me give you some jewels, some gold. Let me give you some land. Let me give you some clothes, some garments and things. Man, I just can't go. I'm too old to go. But would you take my son and do as you have said for me to him? Remember that story? And the son went and got what the guy had promised to the old man, the father. Say, what's going on? Same thing right here. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. Probably penned this one himself. I will repay it, albeit, he didn't care what it was. Paul must have had some fun someplace because he wasn't a man to throw around idle words. Say, what are you saying? I said, well, down at First Financial, he probably had a savings account. You think? I don't know. But he had something someplace. Say, why? Well, he wasn't the kind of man to tell somebody he'd do something when he couldn't do it, when he didn't have the wherewithal to do it. And I don't think I'm reading too much into that thing. The Apostle Paul, he might have had another friend. I know he led plenty of people to the Lord. He might have led some millionaire to the Lord and said, man, if you hadn't come along, I'd be dying right now and going to hell. If there's ever anything you ever need, man, just give me a phone call. Just send me a carrier pigeon. Just call me up. Give me a text. I mean, email me, do something and let me help out. I don't have much, but I got money, man. If you need some money, I got some money. You say, you ain't never had a friend like that? I have. There's a woman, Mrs. Thomas, lived in Bessemer, Alabama. Jeremiah, you remember Mrs. Thomas? And Mrs. Thomas didn't have much. Her husband died in a coal mine accident. She screamed to the top of her lungs when she got the news. She screamed so loud and so long, she lost her voice. She done permanent damage to her voice. And when she talked now, she just whispered, well, it's good to see you now. Please, this, I can't talk any better than this. I hurt my voice. Boy, when she told me that story, I didn't know her from Adam. I'm down there preaching a tent meeting, preaching a revival meeting. She shows up at, I've told you the story. She shows up. Long story short, she was a person in desperate spiritual shape. And she wanted to die. She wanted to go home. She wanted to die so bad. She had a loaded 38 on top of the refrigerator. Right in plain sight. Lived by herself. She said, I had planned to go to church. She said, I'd been out of church. I wasn't even a Baptist. She said, I planned to go to church one last time. And here's what she told me. Give God one last chance. Tell me why I shouldn't do this. It was the worst night of my life. I was miserable. I didn't know what I was doing. I was upset. I was poor. I was broke. I didn't have anything. I'm down in an old 1974 Chrysler station wagon. It was green, the ugliest color you ever seen in the face. You had that wood siding down the side all faded out and bad. I was pulling an old homemade trailer. I welded up myself, put the boards on, the wheels, a whole ball of wax. Me and Brother Jack Grigsby and Bruce McDowell. Jeremiah was too little probably to do much of that. He might have painted it. I don't know. Down there, set up a big old gospel tent, set that thing up, and she come out under that tent. Meetings where she come. I didn't know her from Adam. Sat in the back row with another woman. She was a ex-pastor's wife. Her pastor had died also. Her husband had died also. And they became friends. They prayed for one another. And I didn't know till that time, a little later, that friend of hers was so worried about her taking her own life. She was suicidal. But I was having a bad day. I was having a bad week. You ever had a bad week? I'm down there preaching. I'm supposed to be on cloud nine. I'm supposed to be doing fine. I wasn't doing fine. My wife wasn't with me. My kids were sick. I was by myself. I never went and held a meeting by myself. Never. But I was holding that one. Brother, I was so low. You talk about kicking the can. And I'm trying to figure out what to preach that night. And God said, I want you to preach on this thing right over here. Right over here in the Old Testament. I said, where? What? Where? I want you to preach on this thing right over here where he says to those spies went into the land, they come back out and they said over there, be ye not discouraged. I said, oh no, Lord, no, not me. I'm so discouraged right now. I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to throw in the towel. Man, I'm done. I'm not going to preach no more. I'm going back to my trade and make some real money here. I can't preach. I'm so discouraged tonight. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's the argument I was having with God when he says, no, write down 4 or 5 points and get up there and preach. Be not discouraged. Preach it. Just mind me. Do what I say in spite of how you feel, in spite of who you think you are, in spite of the fact you think I let you down. Go ahead on and preach it. And I got up there that night and preached the best I could on be ye not discouraged. I went home. Finished the meeting. Nothing happened. Nobody saved. Went home. Told my wife. Man, I'm done. I'm no evangelist. I'm no preacher. God don't need me. And she knew I was down. She said, oh, by the way, a letter came in the mail, almost beat you home. It's from Alabama. I said, Alabama? I got that letter. It was from Mrs. Thomas, Bramer Thomas. All handwritten, all scrawled out, crooked writing. I read that letter. I cried like a baby. That's when she told me the story. She wrote it out. I probably still got the letter somewhere. And she said in that letter, the end paragraph, if you ever need anything, I'll make sure it happens. If you need money, if you need a car, she even told me this. I never told Bruce this. If you need an airplane, we'll get it. Because we had been doing a little flying around. Yeah. You say, what was that? That was one of those friends that got right in a meeting that you didn't know anything about till years later, or a few weeks later, or months later. You know what? She stayed my friend, and I've told you other stories about her, and I never exploited that. I never called her, and I never, ever asked her for anything. But you know what? She was the kind of woman, load her car up, her big old black Cadillac, get her a friend, come all the way up here. She'd bring gifts in the middle of July and call it Christmas in July, give my kids presents and gifts. She had us all come down. I was down in the air with another meeting a year or two later. She was a caterer by trade. She catered all kinds of food. That's why I'm so fat tonight. No. She loved us. You say, what was she? She was a friend. Say, what are you saying, Brother Phil? I'm saying Philemon was a friend to the Apostle Paul. And when Paul said, hey, receive him, I'll pay it back. Whatever it is, put it on my account. I don't think Philemon thought about it two minutes. You know, when you get saved, things change. You know, when you get saved, you think different. You know, when you get saved and get right with God, your heart is broken for the things of God, for the love of God, for the peace of God, and for all the other things that God wants to accomplish in your life. And says, I, Paul, have written with my own hand. Verse 20, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee. Let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. The Apostle Paul says, look, I'm not asking for much. I'll pay the debt back, but let me get a little joy out of this thing. Receive him back. Having covenanted this obedience I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more in God good. I know you're going to do more than I say. Say, what's that about? I don't know. Read the book of Ruth. Man, she got out there. She was starving to death. Nothing going on. She couldn't find anything to eat. They were poor. Their husbands are gone. They're dead. She's out there gleaning in the field. And man, Boaz looks over her and he says, yeah, don't nobody bother that woman over there. I don't know. There's something special about her. I don't know. She's a picture of the church and God wants her protected and taken care of. And by the way, drop a couple handfuls on purpose. So she can find them and so that her basket is full. Give her a blessing. I don't know. Paul said, I know thee and that thou going to do more than I say. What is that about? That's about God. That's what that's about. That's about God. But withal, prepare me also a lodging. Wishful. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. As far as I know, that never happened. But you know what? We'll talk about it one day over there. And I had three or four things I wanted to say, but my time's just about up. You understand this letter to Philemon is the shortest and the only private letter Paul wrote. And it deals with an incident in domestic life. So I believe that it's capable of speaking to you and me tonight in our everyday life. What you're going to do tomorrow, what you're going to do Tuesday. It's called the model letter. It is a model of Christian commendation. Commending a converted thief back to the master that he robbed. Man, that's just... You cannot. Can you see that? And the thief, Onesimus goes back. Man, he's going back, man. He's whistling. Man, he's whistling victory. He says, oh, victory. He might even be singing. He said, he didn't know that song. I don't know what he knew, but he was singing something of the Lord. He wasn't singing Death Leopard. Say, what was he singing? He was singing Psalms 118. I don't know what he was singing. He might have been singing Psalms 48, but I'll guarantee you what, Paul probably taught him some song. You say, how do you know that? Well, he was singing in jail one other time when he was in there. Why wouldn't he be singing now? I mean, I'm not making an assumption here. So he's going back. He's headed back. He's singing Amazing Grace. He's singing all them songs Paul taught him down there. He's whistling and singing a while, whistling and singing a while. Man, Philemon steps out on the edge of the porch and sees this character coming down the road. Man, this story's better than the prodigal son. This guy ain't even a son. He's a slave. He's a servant. He says, Paul said he got saved. He sure is singing a different tune. Man, here he comes. And man, he gets a little closer and says, hey, boss, how you doing? And Philemon says, pretty good. How you doing today? Man, good. Things couldn't be better. Man, I got saved down there in jail. Did you hear that? Oh, by the way, I'm sorry I robbed you. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Paul told me about all that. Yeah. And hey, by the way, you know, those dishes I didn't do? Man, stack them up. I'm going to do them now. Huh? I mean, he was a changed man. He said, that roof you wanted on, I'll put it on. That barn you wanted cleaned out, I'm cleaning it out. That painting you wanted done, I'm going to paint. Whatever you want. You say, what happened to him? Oh, man, he got saved. When you get saved, you change, baby. Amen? Now, if he hadn't changed, he'd been trying to figure out how he could case the joint, rip him off again. Huh? Say, you don't know all that. Well, I told you I'd tell the rest of the story. I got a feeling things were different. Old Philemon, he had a friend for life, Onesimus, couldn't get rid of him. He said, man, you didn't take a job someplace where you can get better money. Oh, no, boss, I'm working right here with you, man. You got fields to plow, corn to plant, amen, hay to bale. I'm here for you, man. Man, you got them goats and them sheep out there. They look like their hooves need trimming. They look like they need shearing. And I bet they could stand a shot of worm medicine, huh? Say, how'd you know all that? Well, we raise sheep, and they take a lot of maintenance. But this boy right here, he was a changed man. Isn't it something when a man gets saved, when a lady gets saved, when a person gets saved, they become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So Philemon, master, I robbed you, but I'm back. I won't ever rob you again. Amen. The master, he had deserted. He said, I'll never desert you again. And that's something. Commending a sheep to the fold. Archippus, the pastor, probably, as we read earlier, Colossians 4:17 talks about him and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry with blah, blah, blah. And Philemon, they were all kind of related there, and they went to the same church in Colossa. But man, I'll tell you what, when he come back a new creature in Christ Jesus. Said, man, old things had passed away. Say, what are you talking about? Number one, I'm just going to give you 3 points and then we're done because we're done. It speaks to us of a plea for reconciliation. There are those that need to be reconciled unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is our job to see that they learn they can be reconciled. Number two, it speaks to us of a pledge for reimbursement. Oh, yeah. You see, he bought us at a slave market, and we can't pay him back. I owe. So off to church I go. Amen. Bob Carrico. Thirdly, it speaks to us of a purpose regeneration. I told you the ultimate business of the church is winning others to the Lord, seeing others come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't pick anything else up out of that. If you don't get anything else, get that. Paul seen fit to witness to this criminal, got him saved, set things in order, sent him back, and told him, I'll write him a letter. I'll explain it all to him. And guess what? That's exactly what happened to you. That's exactly what happened to me. And I got a letter in my hand from the one that saved me and sent me back to work and to enjoy. What did Paul say? I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. These bonds, he called himself a bondman, and I enjoy these bonds that bind me to the one that saved me. It's a story on Christian character and Christian love and domestic duty on our part. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Brother Jeff. Brother Jeremiah.